Welcome to Political Point of View on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. In this program, we talk with politicians of all types, of all sorts, from local government through to central government, and including aspiring candidates. Sit back and enjoy.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of Political Point of View. Today, I have the pleasure of having the Horowhenua District Mayor, Bernie, in the studio with me. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Nikki, and to all your listeners.
So we have a couple of topics we want to cover during the show today. And the first one, because I'm really intrigued about this one, the Horowhenua District is going to be having a blackout couple of days, 31st of March, 1st of April. What's that all about?
So this is in response to Cyclone Gabrielle and the impact that it's had, especially on the East Coast, Hawke's Bay and Tararua regions. One of the projects that, or one of the suggestions from local government in New Zealand was that councils that weren't impacted could maybe partner up with a council that was impacted and then be able to help them. And so we put our hands up and said, yes, we'd love to help. And we've been put with Tararua, which is in the Horizons region, natural fit for us. But they've had some pretty devastating impacts of Gabrielle, with a lot of their roads washed out, bridges, and some of the other impacts, especially on their rural land. But we had also seen at the same time that the rural community and farmers wanted to assist those in the Hawke's Bay. So together we are putting on Blackout Day, which is a fundraising day for those areas. We hope to raise $100,000.
Excellent. So you've set yourself a target.
We have, yes.
Okay.
So we're encouraging all the businesses, the schools, everybody individually to dress up, to put black on, and to try and raise some funds for this, very worthwhile cause. So that's Friday the 31st of March.
And that's basically aimed at the whole community.
Yes.
Dress in black, windows black.
Yes.
Whatever you want
whatever
black.
Whatever you want to do.
And in terms of schools and businesses, you know, a gold coin donation from their
exactly.
Kids
whatever. And we've also got a bit of an incentive there that one of the schools that does participate could win a pool party at the local aquatic centre. That would be pretty cool too.
Yes, if we could have, that would be a definite in. I think you'll find most of the schools around this area would be keen to get involved with that.
Exactly. And then culminating on the Saturday, April the 1st, we're having a dinner with an auction. Donated goods and services from lots of businesses and people throughout the district, and hopefully that will raise a really good amount of money so that we can sort of support a lot of those areas that have been severely impacted. We know what it's like with having had rain events and cyclones and things like that. The local government sector actually gets together, and so do all those other sectors of the community, like the farmers, like the teachers, like the business people. They all, like the Marais and the Iwi and Hapu members too, they all have pitched in and been fantastic in supporting a lot of what's going on over there.
Excellent. So this is a black tie dinner, and whereabouts is it going to be held?
Te Takaritanga o Kura Hapu. So there's not a lot of space in there, so if people want tickets to what will be an exciting event. We have also invited the mayors and the chief executives from the Hawke's Bay and Tararua to come and join us.
Oh, nice.
And so far we've had a couple accept that offer.
Excellent.
We're still, finalising some of those details. But it will be great to be able to hear from them, especially in terms of what has gone on in their areas.
Okay, so there's a Blackout Event Facebook page, which you can check out. And if you go online, you can search for the Blackout Evening, and that's where you can get the tickets from. So, it's like I said, it's black tie, and the aim of the evening. So, auction-wise, have you had some local businesses put their hands up?
Look, I'm not sure of that sort of detail yet. I must admit that myself, for my business, I'm certainly looking at what I can see, what I can donate. But, look, I'm sure that there will be many businesses keen to support Not only, so far they've been doing it in people and resources, and hopefully they'll be able to now do it with a service that might be, or a product that might be able to help raise some funds.
Excellent. And I see Jeff Lewis from Lewis Farms is kind of taking the lead from the rural perspective, from their contribution. That sounds brilliant. I really love the sound of that. So, folks, the blackout day is the Friday the 31st of March, and as Mayor Burney said, the schools that participate get the opportunity to go in the draw for to win a pool party for the whole school. That's
I
crazy.
I believe so. Look,
yeah.
don't quote me on that. Yeah, don't quote me on that.
But there's definitely an opportunity to win a pool party at the Horowhenua Aquatic Centre, so that is fantastic. Local businesses, you can dress up in black, black out your windows, get your customers to do a gold coin donation as they come in and out of the shop. And then on the 1st of April, there's a black tie dinner and auction evening happening at Te Takaritanga. So that is pretty awesome as well. And that, I would imagine, is probably the big part of the fundraising.
I would imagine it would be. Yes, look, whatever we raise, though, will, I'm sure, be extremely welcomed. And if we don't reach our target of 100,000, well, I'm sure we'll get close to it. Look, whatever we do raise, though, we'll be extremely grateful for, and hopefully be able to make a difference.
Yeah, well, that's the target, guys, 100,000. Let's show the rest of the country what the Horowhenua can do. All right, so that's pretty exciting, and that's coming up very shortly. But there's also something else that's happened recently that you wanted to chat to people about.
Look, this is the time of the year where we start planning for the next year. Mm-hmm. Council's year, obviously, is 1 July to 30 June. So we spend a lot of time in this early part of the year preparing for that year. Normally we would only be doing an annual plan at this time because we do what we call a long-term plan every 3 years, and mm-hmm. that's not actually due until 2024 to start. But this year we've decided with the amount of work that we need to do that we wanted to bring some things forward.
Okay.
Now, because of the significance of those items and issues, we actually have to consult in a long-term plan time frame, if you like, or at a time when we are. There's rules around significance of issues.
Okay.
These issues are quite significant, so we need to do an amendment for our long-term plan. So to do that, we've picked three major topics that we want to look at for this long-term plan amendment. One is a rates review. We haven't had a rates review for about nearly 10 years.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes. So we want to understand whether we should change from a land value-based rating system to a capital-based rating system, whether our rates are distributed equally and fairly across the district in all sectors, whether it be the rural sector, the urban sector, lifestylers, all those sorts of things. Look, we know how much of, people are struggling with the cost of living pressures, yep, and everything like that. So I thought it was an ideal opportunity to just to make sure that what we were charging in rates was fair and equitable across the district.
So just out of interest, how do you kind of look at that? Like, do you bring in professionals from the outside, or is it just something that the council looks at themselves?
No, the council can do. We've got some pretty smart people within the organisation who can look at that data, and there's some pretty clever systems around the place that you can identify different things that can happen. So you could look, we know that there are some portions of the residents who are paying sort of 8 to 10% of their income is their rates. There are others that are only paying 1 to 2%.
Okay.
So we want to look at that. So it's a conversation. We're not deciding anything. It's about, is this fair? Is this equitable? What would be the difference if we change things?
Right.
And we've seen a huge amount of change in the rating or the valuations of properties throughout the district over the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Right. So 6 years ago, rates as a portion of your capital value was actually quite high.
Right.
But nowadays, of course, with the increase in the capital value, it's a smaller amount. But we need to understand what impact that has. So, yeah, look, there will be pros and cons for doing this. But we estimate there's probably around 4,000 homes and properties that could actually, in our present climate, could have seen a rates decrease which, you know, is quite significant in terms of that. But obviously we're looking at a rates increase that's over 7% at the moment.
Yeah.
And rates of inflation is 7.2. Obviously costs have gone up. Interest rates have gone up. We get affected by that as well.
Yeah.
So we're not really adding anything more, but we're not stopping anything. We want to keep the same levels of service.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to keep it at a manageable level. So that's one of the reasons why we're looking at the rates. And people need to understand too that we don't, it's not per property and then multiplied by the number of properties.
Right.
It's actually the pie that we need. For instance, for us, it's around $50 million.
Right, okay.
So we know that we need $50 million to give and deliver the services that we need for the next year.
Right.
Then that is divided up in different ways,
yeah,
across the district in terms of property, the types of property and things like that.
Yeah. So you start with a figure.
Yeah.
You know what you need to keep the service levels at what they are,
yep,
at least.
Yes.
And so, and then you work out how that's going to be distributed.
Yes. So, yeah, look, it's not about, you know, identifying a figure for each part of the rates, because the rates are, you know, divided up into different, if you like, rates like water,
mm-hmm,
wastewater, roading. They're all separate targeted rates. So, yeah, look, it's complex.
Yeah.
But to be able to make sure that we are being fair and equitable across the district is one of the key things. And we committed to this. We said we'd do it, and we are going to do it. So, yeah, look, a lot of work. And the other major, or there's two other major issues. One of them is still the future of the landfill.
Yep.
So we made the mistake while we consulted on the Levin landfill last time. We didn't make it as part of a long-term plan.
Okay.
And that's where we got out of sync with, there's a bit of legal sort of process that we needed to go through, which we didn't do. So that's what the reason why we've putting this back on the table. We don't really expect to see any change in terms of people's views on that, but we do have to talk about it.
Right.
And this time we've actually got a bit more data around possible future uses for the landfill, and also ensuring that we have a firm closure date sorted. Yeah, so that's another one. And the other major one is some of our infrastructure spend.
You're
we
right.
want to invest more in making sure that we're delivering water properly, delivering wastewater services properly, all those sorts of things. So we want to add $70 million to the budget over 10 years.
Right.
But we know that we're growing at such a fast rate that the capacity and the capability of some of our infrastructure could fail in three to 5 years' time.
Right.
So if we don't start spending and investing now, you know, we could be in trouble later on.
Yeah,
and
it'll be a bigger spend, won't it, if you don't
start
investing?
It'll be a much bigger spend, but it also will be reactive to a lot of stuff that goes wrong. And you read in the paper every day about some of the issues that are impacting Wellington, for
example.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Wellington's a classic example
exactly,
of that.
Where they're always putting out fires in terms of trying to fix those holes that are created. Part of that is we want a conversation with the community around water meters.
Right, okay.
Because one of the problems that we have is that we think we lose probably 20 to 25% of our daily consumption of water through leaks.
Right. Wow,
so
that's quite a significant amount.
Quite a significant amount. When you think about water restrictions through summer and things like that, if we're losing that much, how much of a difference it would make if we could find those leaks and fix them,
yep,
and then be able to use water through the summer period as much as we do through other periods. So we want to have that conversation. Again, we're not, we think this is an environmental and a resilient sort of a strategy that will actually improve people's ability to be able to get water. Well, water has become a very precious commodity.
Yes.
And we can't afford to waste it.
No.
So, we have long-term plans to fix the water supply issue with a new reservoir out the back of Gladstone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still some, 5 to 10 years away.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, we think if we can fix some of those leaks and find those leaks, we will be able to make a huge difference in terms of our water.
Well, as somebody who comes from the Kapiti Coast, so we have water meters. When it was first introduced, there was a lot of ambivalence about it. I have to say personally, I can't speak for everybody in Kapiti, but personally I can't remember the last time I had to pay a water rates bill, partly because I do a regular payment anyway, but I'm always in credit.
Yes. And look, a third of our district is actually on water meters already.
Right.
So Foxton Beach, for example, is on water meters. Any new subdivision or any new, you know, we're breaking up a section or something like that, we always get water meters installed then.
Right.
So to carry on to do the rest of the district would not be a major. I think people have this feel that they would be paying a lot more in rates. But if they're conservative in their water usage and they're given so much usage per day that they're allowed to use, you know, it wouldn't be a lot more than they're paying now. We also believe that with the three waters sort of policy that's being introduced, water meters will become compulsory.
We think
that's the only way that those entities will actually be able to control the use of water and make it more, you know, make people more think about it more. It's a bit like paying your power. You know, you turn off those light switches, or you don't use the heater when you don't need to and things like that, or be careful about when you use your power. Water will become pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, it's kind of a reality. It's where it's going at the moment. We can see what's happening in Wellington. I mean, like Point Howard, just off, doof, whole road disappeared because of burst water. Well, it wasn't even a burst. It was a leak originally.
Exactly.
And then it just kept growing.
Yes.
So anything that's going to protect the water in the Horowhenua has got to be a good thing.
I agree. And look, long term, we think what our strategy there is, in fact, to provide enough supply of water to last us 30 days.
Okay, yep.
All right. Not many other towns or districts around the country would have anything like that ability. But currently, we can only have storage for about 12 to 18 hours.
Wow. Is
exactly.
that all?
That's all. So if we had a major disruption to the the network, we could be in real trouble, and that would mean tankers being brought in and all those sorts of things. So, you know, to give us a bit more resilience, to give us a bit more safety in terms of ensuring that we've got supply when people need it, that's why we're looking at that long-term view. I mean, it's going to cost plenty, but I think, you know, obviously we need to make sure that people can grow. We're struggling at the moment to supply those businesses with the amount of water that they need to contribute. So if they want to grow, and with our growth that we're experiencing with just people coming to the district, it is putting pressure on our system. So we need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely. So those are the three kind of main things around the long-term plan amendment.
Yes. So people will see a consultation document published very shortly where there is ample opportunity to understand all the issues that surround each of those. And then we're looking for their views and opinions as to whether, you know, what they think we should do. We are instituting for the first time what we're calling citizen panels. So we've encouraged people to, you know, put their hand up and say, yeah, I'd love to have a conversation about something. So we've had over 120 people respond to that.
Oh, that is
which
brilliant.
Will be a great way for us to understand, you know, the broader community's views. But this is, the submission process is available to anyone that wants to have their say. And one of the challenges for any council is to really understand what their community actually thinks about something.
Yeah.
And while I would encourage people to be very much in that process, I would encourage them also to be as positive and to be as realistic as they can be.
Yeah.
Just saying no is the easy way out because no one likes paying rates, no one likes doing anything like that, but they are a reality and we just need to get on and get stuff done.
I think, as we discussed last time we chatted, the weather impacts over the last few months have shown that all our local governments and our central government need to start making changes to make sure that if these things happen to other areas, that those infrastructure items can be either protected or repaired really quickly.
That's right. And you will have, you probably don't hear about these sort of stories following Gabrielle, but there have been pockets and areas in the country that had no impact from any of that flooding because of the work that they had done as a community, as a region, in terms of making sure that they had built those infrastructure pieces that would, you know, stop them from being inundated like they were.
Yeah.
But you don't hear about that sort of thing. So there are pockets within some of those communities that weren't affected.
No, exactly, because they already had things in place
yes.
to make sure that didn't happen. All right, so Mayor Burney, have you got anything else you want to share with the listeners today?
Just one thing, Nikki. Look, last week we had the teacher strike. Obviously impacted a fair number of the community where they weren't expecting to have their children have a day off, if you like. Now, we know that there are many working parents out there, families that don't easily have people to look after their kids when they're on holiday or not working. This is not a governance thing or a council thing. This was the organisation stepping up, recognising that there were a heck of a lot of people within the organisation that probably either would have needed a day off work or would have had to pay maybe to get their kids looked after. So that what we did was actually have a bring your kids day to work. So there was all these kids turned up at council. They went into chambers and had a bit of a look around and did things in there. Then we took them to the pool. We gave them lunch. We took them to Tatakiri, showed them a movie and things like that, and gave them a day at council, if you like.
Right.
Which was a fantastic way of showing support for our staff in terms of their ability to be able to continue to work. Because realistically, we can't afford that many people off at a time when there's so much happening in the local government space.
Yep.
So, look, it was a really great way for, the kids to get a day out and a bit of, pizza in the park and, and a bit of escape around the skate park and have a swim in the pool and those sorts of things. But a really great initiative and really proactive on the council's part, I thought, to be able to support their staff in the way that they
So that was the CEO and the management said, right, what can we do? Yeah.
Yeah, and look, it was a fantastic day. Well, I mean, another beautiful day in the
horizon. I know, it was, exactly. Weather-wise, it couldn't have been more perfect.
So, we were lucky in terms of that. But I know, the organisation, the Chief Executive Monique and her team deserve a great deal of credit for being able to do that. And I know that they have had some really positive and constructive feedback from it, and the staff really welcomed it. It was great.
Excellent. Well, that's one way to kind of keep your staff, let them know that they're appreciated and that you also know that they do have a life outside of work.
Exactly. Look, we all have families, and we, regardless of how they operate and things like that, there are things that will get in the way of what we have to do in terms of our work. But to be able to keep that work-life balance, to be able to sort of be confident that you are happy in going to work is really important these days.
Yeah.
And we know the stresses and strains that we've had through COVID and even the weather events and things like that. Our staff get put under pressure a great deal because they are the face for the
exactly.
public to be. So, we as councillors sometimes can be a bit divorced from that. But it's really great that, the organisation is stepping up. And we don't want to be seen as an organisation that just collects rates
right.
or delivers water. We are very much part of this community
yep.
and we want to make sure that people, know that we are there to help them and support
well,
them.
Well, council would probably be one of the largest employers in the region, wouldn't they?
Definitely,
yep.
yes. Our staffing levels are probably with part-time. And with our libraries and pools, we're probably around 200.
Yeah.
So, it is a significant part of our economy. And look, it's we also think that we've We've got such a great place in the Horowhenua that people want to come and work for us as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is great here.
Look, it would be remiss of me not to mention Mayor's Task Force for Jobs as well. This is a program that was set up during COVID where rural councils got given some funding to be able to help young people, mainly the 18 to 24-year-olds who were not in education or training or employment, to be able to find them jobs. And they gave them support and assisted them to get into that. There was some money left over and they invited some provincial councils to actually be part of that program. Horowhenua was one of those. And that was, we had 9 months of the first year and then we started a new year in July last year. We are very proud to say that we have put over 65 young adults and people into jobs and employment within this district.
Wow.
Now, that's a fantastic effort, with, from all concerned, whether it be the team at Horowhenua District Council have done an amazing job. The employers who have been prepared to actually take on some, fairly challenging young people who need a bit of support and help and guidance. But the wraparound services that are provided by, say, MSD, and other agencies like that with council and the employers have enabled us to be able to create all these positions. So we are the leading district in the country at the moment.
Woo!
With the number of positions that we've been able to fill. And I
Is that over the 9 months plus this new year?
No, this is just the new year. Yes.
Wow.
So our target for the year is 50 and we have already done 65.
And we've still got three months?
We've still got 3 months to go.
Brilliant.
So, great achievement. Look, it's been... there are people, unfortunately, who leave school, got no idea what they want to do or what they want to do with their lives. They end up sort of sitting at home on the couch playing games or whatever. And so it's about finding those people. So the networks that we're creating in terms of, have you heard about Mayor's Task Force Jobs?
Right.
They're really important, to be able to give some support and some guidance. Some wonderful stories about how some of these kids, and I'll call them kids, but they're young adults, I suppose, were a bit lost.
Right.
But this program has actually given them some real purpose about their lives. And, I'm very proud of it's called Mayor's Task Force of Jobs, but I don't do a heck of a lot of the work.
So literally just has your name on it.
Exactly. It's, credit to all those involved, especially the staff at CAS. We've got a couple of wonderful people who are out and about in the community, actually not only finding the kids, but talking to employers and the agencies and the schools and everything like that to try and find these people. So it's not only about finding them a job, it's about getting their driver's license, getting their CV sorted, if they need clothing or footwear, getting that sort of thing, finding them and some transport to get to work and those sorts of things. There's a heck of a lot more than just, here's a job, turn up at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning type of thing.
Yeah.
So, wonderful credit to everybody involved.
All right, Mayor Burney, thank you so much for your time today. Was there anything else you wanted to mention this week?
No, I think that's about it. Nikki, thank you very much for your time.
Awesome. Well, we'll catch up with you again in April, post-Easter. You can tell me how many Easter eggs you ate. Good luck with the blackout day. Here's hoping, fingers crossed, that Horowhenua can get to that $100,000 to donate to the Tararua District. Thanks again for your time.
Good as gold.
You have been listening to Political Point of View on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. In this program, we've talked with politicians of all types, of all sorts, from local government through to central government and including aspiring candidates.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.